Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Well, this morning I want to continue in our series. I'm glad you woke up this morning. We're talking about the parable of the talents. The title of the series is Before the Foundation, and I'm just going to read one of these scriptures in Matthew chapter 13, verse 35, and I'm going to read it in the Living Bible. It says, "For it had been prophesied," this is Jesus speaking, "I will talk in parables. He said, I will explain mysteries hidden since before the beginning of time." Now, what we've been looking at is some parables that Jesus taught. And these are truths that existed before you existed. Now, sometimes people's minds trip over that, and your natural mind does, because we really do function in a natural world. We function where we see, hear. Most of what we do in a day is out of our five senses. And God has designed it that we would be aware of spiritual things as well. That, in other words, the scripture says this. The scripture says that eternity is in the heart of man. Now listen to me, that's whether you've received Christ or not. Do you know that every person in here is eternal? You have a spirit inside of you that is housed inside your body. Years ago, Years ago, I started looking at after near-death and after-death experiences. How many have ever seen some of those on TV? And now, you know, they used to say that what it was when the person started to die, that all the memories and things in their mind would flood their system, and they would think that they were seeing things on the other side, because they would be watching the brain and stuff like that. But then there were multiple people who had after death experiences where they had like meningitis in their spine, and the infection got up into their brain. Their brain wasn't even functioning, yet they had a whole experience. So the medical field started to realize, wait a minute, this is outside of our realm, natural realm. This is over into the spiritual realm. This is something beyond. And one of the coolest testimonies that I saw was actually a brain or a doctor who had that experience. His brain was actually infected. He went over into heaven and saw family members and heaven and all these different things, and yet his brain couldn't function because of the infection. And so it proved to him that the afterlife or spiritual life beyond this world was real. Well, what Jesus did is he created everything in the beginning with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And then as time progressed, as there was a promise in Genesis, Jesus dropped into the creation that he made to reveal God to us. And so the scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those gospels are the account of when the Son of God, the creator of the universe, manifested himself in the earth and demonstrated the love of God, and listen to me, the exact image of God while he was here on earth. That's what took place. And so those Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John are an expression or an account of what took place during that time. Now, scholars tell us this. I'm not a scholar, by the way. But scholars tell us this, that the actual account of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John is anywhere from 27 to 54 days of Jesus' ministry. And he ministered for 3.5 years. That's why the Gospel of John says this, that if the miracles that he did actually were recorded, the seas, they wouldn't be able to hold, the books wouldn't be able to be held in the seas. In other words, how many miracles and signs and wonders did Jesus do? Oh my goodness. In other words, the gospel writers picked a few days, 2 months, maybe, of what Jesus did and wrote it down for us. That is just phenomenal to me. And so part of that time that was recorded for us were the parables. And we're talking about the parables of the talent. And we talked about several different things. But when you are born again, you need to realize that God comes to live inside of you. When he does, then we have a responsibility to do something with our mind and with our body. Amen? And we talked about this, and this is where I want to go today, that part of the talent that God has given you is this. It is the talent of your physical body. Your physical body. Your body has been given to you, designed by God and given to you so that you could function in the earth. The ultimate goal of the body that you live in right now is to look and act and function just like Jesus Christ. Did you know that? His design for you is to be saturated with the presence of God. You know, sometimes when people think about salvation or they think about being born again, they think, I get to go to heaven when I die. That's a benefit. But heaven comes to live in you now. I don't know about you, but I'm glad about that. I mean, when I got born again, I thought, this is the best. I'm not even high. I know you probably didn't think that. Oh, you guys are sanctified and all that stuff, so... this is better than partying, you know what I mean? I had this new nature inside of me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I thought, man, I don't even need this other stuff anymore. And so we have this body and it's designed to be sanctified and set apart for God. And I'm not going to read about the parable of the talent, but it's found in Matthew 25, verse 14 through 29 or 30. And you can read it later if you want to. But when it comes to our physical bodies, we must be aware that they are affected by sin. How many have noticed that? Okay. Our bodies are made in the image of God, but they are not God. I could preach a year on that. They are made in the image of God, but they are not God. See, we live in a culture that worships the physical body. They worship it. Everything is about how you look, how you feel, all those things. It's all about physical things. But they wear out after a while. They end up worshiping it. God's will for us is that we make our bodies slaves to his spirit and will, slaves of his righteousness. Over the past several weeks, we have looked at the gift or talent that is our physical bodies that is from God. We have seen that they can be used for righteousness or sin. Last week, we looked at the importance of learning to possess our bodies through the power of the Holy Spirit within us. To possess means to own or to gain the mastery over instead of giving way to adverse circumstances or desires. See, God's desire for you is that you own your body. It's that you dominate your physical body. This morning, I am going to wrap up our study on the body and move to the soul or the mind next week. Scripture is clear that we have a responsibility to do something with our bodies. Scripture is also clear that if we participate in the desires of the flesh and sin, then there is a harvest of death in our lives. Romans chapter 8, verse number 12 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Living a carnal or flesh-ruled life does not stop God from loving you. It does not please God or bring pleasure to him because it is not of faith. So let me just say this, because I need to say this in advance. You need to realize that God's love for you is out of his nature. Let me say it another way. How many would like to have it another way? God's love for you is not based on your performance. The Bible says this, while we were yet, Christ died for us. Now, God will never stop loving his creation, but he does give his creation a free will. So, how many have kids? You have children or grandchildren, okay? How many love your kids and your grandkids or whatever, okay? How many have kids or grandkids that do stuff that you don't love? Now, if you're not raising your hand and you do, you lying. Because I know, I have kids. I love them. But sometimes I go, Where'd that come from? Does it stop me from loving them? No. Am I pleased with them? No. Love, God's love for us is unconditional. He will always meet with you, commune with you, speak with you, have fellowship with you as long as you reach out in faith with your heart to Him. But you can do things that displease Him, and there are things that we need to realize in His Word that He wrote to us that we need to stay away from because it displeases Him. Never means He leaves us or forsakes us, just means that we are walking outside the boundaries of what He has designed for us. So in other words, I'll put it to you like this. The reason why there are things that your kids do that displease you is because you know what kind of harm will come to them. And God is the exact same way. He asks us to stay away from certain things, not because He's trying to be a killjoy, but because He knows that if you involve yourselves in certain things that are outside of His design, it works death rather than life. Does that make sense? So the physical body, as much as it's designed for God, we need to realize that there's a nature that runs through it that is going to have to be redeemed one day. In fact, the scripture says physical death is the last enemy to be put underfoot. So in other words, it's already been defeated by the Lord and the cross, but the manifestation thereof is coming. How many are going to be grateful for a non-dying body? Come on, you'll be able to eat and not gain weight. I'm excited about it. Like, this tastes so good. Why does my belt not fit as good as it used to? So in other words, there are things about the flesh, and I want to talk about those this morning. So let's go to Galatians 5, and I'll just run through these real quick before we wrap up here. We're doing good on time, so none of this is designed to pick on anybody. So if, as you're listening, if you hear something that hits home, you just keep your eyes straight forward. Don't make any weird faces. Nod your head and say, amen, Sean. Somebody needs to hear that. And then when you go home, you can go, uh-oh. I may have some things I need to change. How many in here, you are perfect. You don't need to have any changes made in your life at all. Now, nobody better raise a hand. How many in here are walking in Christ-like perfection? I mean, you've got it nailed down. Every area. No. In other words, we all have areas where we can improve. Amen? In the expression of our faith. Hallelujah. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says this. He says, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, but I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit, then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of the human nature without God. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, the godless human nature. I'm reading in the Amplified, in case you're wondering. For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other. How many have experienced that before as a Christian? You're like, why do I have this conflict going on? Right there. That's exactly why you do, right there. You have a nature inside of you that's God, and you have a nature in your flesh that's going, I want to be God. And the nature inside you that is the Holy Spirit's going, no, you can't do that. And helping you push down the desires of the flesh so that righteousness can be expressed rather than unrighteousness. So he says, so that you, flesh, your flesh man, that part of you, may not do or be free, but are prevented from doing what you or the flesh desires to do. So in other words, the Holy Spirit within you controls you to where you are not being in bondage to the desires of your flesh. You're controlling them. Remember that if you yield to the flesh, you harvest death. But if you yield to the Spirit, you'll harvest eternal life. And that's not just talking about in eternity. That's talking about here and now. Let me give you just a practical example. If you're a habitual liar, how much death are you going to have in your life? How do you engender strong, healthy relationships in your life if you habitually lie with those that are closest to you? Does that make sense? You can't. There's a harvest that comes out of that. What is it? Death. Now, people think death, they think, well, somebody died. We had a funeral, they're no longer here. No, no, no. Death manifests in all sorts of ways. And you can have the death of a relationship because there wasn't integrity and honesty inside the relationship. Come on. Everybody's experienced that. Nobody's immune to any of these things. They exist. Amen? They exist. And so that's a natural way of looking at this and one that we should be aware of. So let's go through these three things, or these three things. There's several things that he goes through, talking about the desires of the flesh, because there's different ones. Verse number 19. Actually, I'll go down to verse number 19. Because he goes into what the works of the flesh are. The works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Then he goes on from there and he says in verse 19. There it is. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, that which are adultery. Oh, I read that. Fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness. Then in verse 20, skip down to verse 20. It says, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Go to verse 21. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So what we have here is a list of some of the desires or deeds of the flesh. So let's talk about the first one here. And I'm just going to give you the definition of these words according to Scripture. The first one is adultery. Now, we'll probably hit at least one of every... Somebody will hit on one of these somewhere, even if it's all on Facebook on the live stream. Okay? But somebody will hit it somewhere. So you need to be aware of these things so that you know how the Lord wants you to function. Now, remember this. This thought right here. I was born in 1977 on January 27th. My mom's right there. Raise your hand, Mom, if I'm right. Okay, good. So that makes me 42 years old. Okay? Now, I don't look it. I know I look much younger. But that makes me 42 years old. So what does that mean? Did I write this? Is this my opinion? Are these my words? No, they're whose words? God's. Okay, so this is God's word to you. Is God going through these things because he wants to hurt you? What does he want to do? He wants you to have abundant life. Now, the world will tell you, do whatever you want. It's all good. How many have tried that? Hello, there's a reason why I'm here today. I tried that. I thought, they lied. Okay? There are portions of the church today that will say, do whatever you want. It's all good. Just go ahead and try living a dishonest life and see how good it works. Well, I'm under grace. Yeah, you're going to go to heaven, but you might get there earlier than you want to if you just yield to the flesh. Amen? Okay, so let's look at these. First one's adultery. Whenever this word is used in the Bible, it usually refers to illicit sexual activity by a married individual with someone other than his or her spouse. That's what adultery is. Simple definition right there, correct? The second one is fornication. What are these? These are deeds of the flesh. This word refers to illicit sexual activity by an unmarried person. So if an unmarried man had sex with a married woman, he would be guilty of fornication while she would be committing adultery. When two people who are married but not to each other engage in sexual union, their relationship is adulterous. Two unmarried people who engage in sex would be guilty of fornication. So that's what fornication is. Now, the Lord is against these two things. Why is he against them? Because he hates the people that are doing them. Why is he against them? Because they produce what? Death. That's why they produce death. God's not in heaven. If God, you realize this? Oh, this is such a good statement. Listen closely. If God didn't love you and didn't want you to be redeemed, all he would have to do is nothing. Does that make sense? Come on, think with me. Don't just sit and listen and go, I don't know, and get emotional. Think about it. All he would have to do is nothing. But he didn't. What love does, agape love, we actually looked at this in our leadership this morning. Agape love does this. Agape love jumps in between the person they want to save and the destruction that's coming at them. Does that make sense? Love, true love, is not this hippie thing that has run through the earth in the last 20 years and 30 years and 40 years and 50 years. It's not, oh, it's just all free love, man. It's just whatever you want, whatever you feel, whatever you... Sometimes I feel like running my car into the person in front of me. But out of true love, I don't do it. Why? Because that's not loving them. That's destroying them. So these truths are placed in the scripture. Why? Because God is love. And he knows if you go down this path, your inside, your soul, your relationship, all these things, it will begin to destroy if you function in relationship outside of God's design. It will cause death in your life. And so he doesn't want that. The third one here is uncleanness. This word deals more with the thought leading to the physical sex act rather than the act itself. No sin, especially sexual sin, ever begins from the outside. Rather, it begins in the mind of the person who commits it. Uncleanness deals with evil sexual thoughts and desires. In this respect, it could be translated as lust. The fourth one is lasciviousness. When unclean thoughts control the person, it is called lasciviousness. This causes a person to seek after sexual activity, such as pornography. He or she has a cheap attitude toward the opposite sex. They are an object for personal gratification. The lascivious person has given themselves over to sexual cravings. Verse number 20, so we got through those. Verse number 20. Is idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, and selfish ambitions, dissensions, and heresies. Idolatry in the day in which these verses were written, idolatry referred to the worship of graven images. Today it includes giving preeminence to anything other than God. It could be money, power, position, fame, glory, even a business, a club, or amusement, such as a hobby, a sport, or a pastime. None of these things are evil in themselves, but they become evil when a person elevates that thing to a higher position than God. In that same sense, we must constantly be on our guard against spiritual idolatry. Spiritual idolatry. Sorcery or witchcraft. Would you think of witchcraft as an act of the flesh? You know, most people think of witchcraft, they think of what? A broomstick. A lady with a long nose and a big wart on it. Sorry, I'm dating myself. With a black hat on their head. Running, flying around going, I'm going to get you, my pretty. Okay? How many watch The Wizard of Oz? Man, I watched that growing up. I was like, name is Flying Monkeys. I had nightmares out of that deal. Shouldn't have watched that. That's what people think of as witchcraft. But what does Paul call it? He calls it what? A deed of the flesh. Okay, so let's look at this. Witchcraft or sorcery. The word in the Greek is pharmakeia, from which we derive our English word pharmacy. Witchcraft has always revolved around the use of drugs, as evidenced by the origin of the word. To us, in our modern-day world, the word conjures images of an old woman in a long black gown and a tall hat flying through the air on a broomstick. True witchcraft is no joking matter, though. It is not to be confused with innocent child's play. It is a multi-million, probably billion, dollar business involving not only spiritists and the occult, but also a thriving drug culture threatening to destroy our way of life. I remember when I first got saved, my father-in-law is here. When he got saved, we both got saved out of things we shouldn't have been doing. But anyway, he was around in his day. There was a drug culture. How many know there's one today, and there was one in my day, and yada, yada, yada. Anyway, he talked about being on some sort of drug. I don't even remember what it was. Doesn't even matter. But he went into a room where there was a party going on or something, and he went into a room where there were other people there, and in the corner, in the back corner, he saw a large dark figure with eyes looking like this. And he left. Because you say, why is that? I could tell you stories right now, but I'm not gonna. I don't have time. Why would that be? Because drugs cross you over into the spirit. They cross you over. That's what can happen. They cross you over. And so what the Lord is saying is, hey, don't mess with this. It's not my desire for you. My desire for you is that you fellowship with the Holy Spirit, not another spirit, so that you can have life and life more abundantly. Amen? Man. Hatred. That's a deed of the flesh for sure. Hatred is defined as personal hostility towards someone else. Like lust, it is a mental sin. A person can be smiling and cheerful on the outside and be seething with internal hatred. Anybody experience that? Sooner or later, emotion will find expression through words or deeds, or by destroying the mind and body of the one who harbors it inside. Like all mental sins, hatred is a cancer. It harms the one it inhabits far more than the one whom it is directed. That's why Christians are warned to put away all anger, wrath, and malice. It's for our own good. So in other words, where does hatred manifest itself mostly? With the people that you're closest to. Usually, the enemy will try to work hatred into churches. He'll try to work hatred into families. He'll try to work hatred into marriages. He'll try to work hatred into siblings. Why? Because he wants to cause division. He's not a uniter. He's a divider. He has a desire for you, and his desire is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And God's desire is that you have what? Life, and life more abundantly. What about variance and contentions? It simply means disagreement. Have you ever met somebody who's always at odds with somebody else? Their whole life is a fight. They're always fighting. Everything's a fight. They're always fighting every day. You can't even have peace around them. Why? They're always fighting with somebody. Even with somebody they don't know. They're so used to fighting, they can't even function in a room where it's peaceful and quiet. They got to start a fight because that feels more normal than... That's what that is. Variance, contention, those type of things. What about emulations or jealousies? We don't use the word emulations. We use jealousies. This is akin to jealousy, but usually revolves around spiritual matters. In a sense, it is trying to play spiritual king of the mountain. It is an attitude that will not cooperate with others unless it gets its own way. We would call it ambition or rivalry. This is a deed of the flesh. What about wrath? Wrath is the outward manifestation of inward hatred. It refers to emotional outbursts, explosions of anger. Well, have you ever been around somebody? You don't want to make me mad. That's flesh. And that's a manipulative tool that you're using to try and control the situation. You're not walking in the Spirit because you're not walking in love. God does not sit in heaven and go, Neil, if you do that, you don't want to make me mad, Neil. He's not doing that. What is God do? God does this. God says that if you continue down this path in this direction, if you continue to follow this way of operating in the flesh, it leads to death. You don't want to go that direction. He tries to intervene before something manifests that it shouldn't in your life. And by manifest, I don't mean some weird spiritual activity. I simply mean this. How many have ever been in an argument and it took 4 days to get over it? And all the married people said amen. In other words, you had tension, unrest in your house for days on end because why? Rivalry, contention, anger, hatred, outbursts of something which manifests itself in spiritual death. Okay? So it's not always a big, spectacular thing. It's something simple as that. What about seditions and dissensions, heresies? Selfish ambitions. How many have been in strife before? Whew. No, thank you. When you function in strife, you function in a place that causes hurt and disharmony. Strife has to do with, it manifests itself in temper tantrums, complaining, and troublemaking, but its root source is a lack of love. So if you're functioning in the Spirit, will you function in strife? No, you won't. You won't even take part in it. What about seditions and dissensions? It's divisions over points other than personalities. So what causes religious groups to split apart one from another isn't usually over some minor viewpoint rather than an individual. One person or group decides a specific doctrine or tradition must be kept at all costs. Unless it is done, they threaten to draw apart and dissolve their union with the rest of the group. This is sedition or spiritual treason. What about heresies? Heresy is an opinion contrary to the Word of God. Most heresies begin as seditions, group disruptions over a point or order of law. Eventually, these disputes result in separation. One group holding to one's opinion, to its opinions, splits away to follow its own interpretation. Many times, this interpretation is in opposition to the Word of God. What about envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like? Envy is jealousy without a particular target. It is also inward or mental sin. It is the attitude that everyone gets a better break than me. How many have experienced that before? It's a self-pity spirit. It comes and you feel like, how come that doesn't happen for me? And when you get into that, you've now gotten out of life and life more abundantly and into sin. Jealousy is directed toward one particular person. Envy is toward all. What about murders? Anybody know what that is? Paul did not say killing is wrong, but murder. Do you know there is a time to kill? Did you know that? You know, people say they read the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder. That word is not murder. That word is kill. There is a time to kill. It's biblical. Now, none of us in this room has the right to decide that time or act it out, okay? All right? So this is, in other words, I'm referring to military, law enforcement, things like that. How many are thankful for law enforcement? Amen. Okay, good. Drunkenness. The Word of God has always condemned drunkenness, which is the excessive use of alcohol. Revelries. This simply refers to wild parties, carousing, and brawling, which usually accompany drunkenness. I've been drunk once or twice in my life before I had given my life to the Lord. And guess what inevitably happened at the parties we were at? Fights. I remember one time we were in high school. We're at a party. And guess who showed up to the party? College kids. Because I guess they don't have friends in their age, so they have to come hang out with the high schoolers. I mean, how cool is that? And you know what they did? The moment they got in there, they had been drinking before they showed up. The moment they got in there, we're just sitting down in the basement hanging out of this whole group of people. There are people all over the house. And what did they do? They came downstairs to where we were and started to try to pick fights with us. They didn't even know us. Why? Drunkenness. Liquid courage. I'm big and bad. No, you just can't feel anything. You're not big and bad. If you're in college and you have to pick fights with a high schooler, you're not big and bad. Okay? So these are things to avoid. Why? Because they cause you to live in a place you don't want to live. And the Bible goes on to say, and the such like. This is Paul's way of indicating the sins he has listed are not inclusive. Instead, it is a partial listing of the many manifestations of the flesh. So let me say this last, and we'll close with this. He says, in this last part of this verse, he says what? They'll not inherit the kingdom of God. How many of that sounds like you won't go to heaven? Come on, be honest. You can be honest. Okay, that's not what it's saying. So I'm just going to let you know ahead of time. Okay? It's not what it's saying. Paul is saying here that those who practice sin will not inherit the kingdom of God. Unbelievers are being referred to in this verse, not believers. In other words, the word practice means this. It doesn't mean you made a mistake. It means this is your habitual lifestyle. Does that make sense? Okay? You make this your lifestyle. This is all you do. This is a group of people that have rejected what God has said and have decided to go with what the world has said. And I don't care what Jesus says. I don't care what God the Father says. I'm going this direction. This is what I want to do, and I'm going to do it. It will lead to death, because ultimately the deeds of the flesh always lead to the rejection of Christ. They always do. Where works of the law can't determine your salvation, yielding to the desires of the flesh hinder your salvation. So you can't earn your salvation. It's by grace through faith. But what do the deeds of the flesh do? They hinder your salvation. They hinder it. Any teaching on grace that promotes dabbling in the desires of the flesh is, in my mind, and I believe from the scriptures, very dangerous to any believer. Romans chapter 8, verse 13 again says this: "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you will put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Will you stand with me, please? You will live. Shane, can you come play the keys for me? I know there are some here today that contacted us on Facebook, and I would like to pray with you right after the service, as soon as we dismiss. If you'll just come up here, my wife and I will pray with you, and we'd love to do that. We're so thankful for that. I just want to do this real quick. I'm going to lead us in a general prayer, and I want you to join in, if you would, concerning the deeds of the flesh. Maybe there's some of you here that that you have yielded to these things, maybe unwittingly. You didn't know, or maybe you didn't know the scripture on it. But with every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to pray and give you an opportunity right now to talk to the Lord about it. I'm not going to have you come up. I'm not giving a call to salvation right now. This is for those of you that you know there are areas of your life concerning what we just looked at that you just need to get right. And now's as good a time as any. You're in church. You're in the atmosphere. You just heard the words, and you want to commit to that. I love that verse, Romans 8:13, that says that the Spirit helps you put to death the deeds of the body. In other words, we're not left to our own strength. The Holy Spirit will come and strengthen you to be able to overcome those things and to be able to, listen to me now, not only be forgiven, but then also repent. So you make changes so that you're living inside what God's instruction is in His Word to you. You know, you may not realize it fully, but if you're a believer in here and you're yielding to the flesh in an area over and over again, it has an effect on your inside, your soul, your spirit. It has an effect. And it may be causing some of the issues that you're dealing with, that you're trying to get rid of, that you're trying, you've been praying about it. You've been looking and saying, God, I need your help. And it might be a flesh issue that's hindering it. So right now, let's just pray together. You just pray. I'm going to pray corporately. You just pray quietly to yourself. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. Holy Spirit, you're the one who convicts us. You're the one who convinces us of the goodness of God. Lord, we know that in all these desires of the flesh, Lord, these motivations of the flesh, Father, that they're not your will for us, that your will is the fruit of the Spirit for us. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just ask that you open our eyes to see where we need to make changes. And you can do this right now just in your own heart. The Holy Spirit will show you. We commit to you, Lord, as you show us to act in faith on what you've showed us to make changes. At any cost, Lord, we want to follow you and obey you at all times. And so, Lord, as we do, we know that you are faithful to give us strength to overcome these things. Man, we believe it in Jesus' name. And I just hear the Holy Spirit saying to you right now, if you'll listen to me, I'll bring you into a place of peace and joy that you've never known. If you'll follow the instruction in my word, I can just hear the Lord saying this to you right now. If you'll adjust your life to my way, you will experience such abundance of life. You'll almost have to pinch yourself thinking, how could it be this good? But the Lord desires that you experience it that good. Close relationship with Him. Unhindered, uninhibited, fearless faith and love in relationship with Him. So, Father, we just accept that word to us and we thank You for it. We thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. And we thank You for Your grace in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.